And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears along with you on this middle of the week, Wednesday, October the 4th, 2017. 20 minutes past 12 o'clock, and you're tuned into the Now program. We're going to have a fun 2 hours today, an informational 2 hours. Let me tell you really quick what's coming up next hour. Legendary announcer Lance Russell, who was on this program many times, a big voice in Memphis, Tennessee, was their newsman. He covered the pro wrestling scene during the Andy Kaufman days. Passed away yesterday at the age of 91. We will be joined by his son, Shane Russell, next hour. That'll be at 1:15. Also, sad news to greet you with today. From last night, Marion County Prosecutor, Brent Yeager, has passed away at the age of 60. Last night, 911 call took place. 911 call took place, and they found an unresponsive male who was not breathing at his residence. And we're sad to see him go. Brent was a good guy. Always enjoyed catching up with him, but that's the news this morning. Marion County Prosecutor Brent Yeager, dead at age 60. This hour, we're going to solve some problems, because you cannot turn on your television, your radio, open a magazine, open a newspaper, anywhere here in Ohio, without being inundated with, I don't want to call it propaganda, but let's say information of a sort on issue 2, which will be on the November ballot. Every time you go to your mailbox, there's something there. Now, just to re-inform you of how it will be placed on the ballot, this is what issue 2 is. A yes vote supports the measure to require state agencies and programs to purchase prescription drugs at prices no higher than what the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs pays for them. A no vote opposes this measure to require state agencies and programs to purchase prescription drugs at prices no higher than what the VA pays for them. That's where we are. And it's been confusing because a lot of commercials have been put out. As we have it at this point, and the numbers may have changed, but people supporting issue 2 have raised $6.23 million to get people to vote yes, and $16.23 million has been raised from the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America to get you to vote no on this. So I thought, here is what we'll do. Who is the person who knows most about medicine that I know? That would be the man who for many years woke you up on the Today Show, as the doctor on the Today Show, has written many best-selling books on weight and aging and other things. And he doesn't live in the state of Ohio, so this does not affect him. And he is not paid by either side here. So I asked this gentleman, I'm sure you know who it is, to research this last week and fill us in on the details of where we should be on this issue, or at least give us some unbiased facts so we can go into the voting booth with some know-how coming up on November the 7th. So glad to welcome back to this program, less than a week from his last appearance, but that's a good thing, Dr. Art Uhlein. Dr. Uhlein, how are you?
I am well, Scott. Thank you very well.
I
have to tell you, I'm also confused, because I went out and did some of that research. I know you just promised folks listening that I would have some answers, and I've got a couple of suggestions, but I have more questions than answers after doing my research. I mean, the big question is, why in the world would we need an initiative like this? And the answer to that question is just astonishing to me. It is because we actually in this country have some laws that say that some people cannot negotiate for the lowest price. I mean, here we are in a capitalistic society, and we have a law that makes it illegal to negotiate the lowest price on drugs. So It turns out it's not illegal for the Veterans Administration to do that. And that explains why you have the VA price pegged as the price above which Ohio shouldn't pay any more. But here's another question. You said that $6.2 million is funded on one side for the pro side, and $16.2 million from pharma companies opposed to it. Now, you don't need me to tell you why pharma companies are spending $16 million to oppose it, right?
Well, now here's the interesting thing, Dr. Yulee. I had Dale Butland on, who worked for a Democratic senator, Senator John Glenn, I think everybody knows who that was, as his chief of staff. He is working on the no side of this. Now, he told me the reason in an interview that the pharma companies are spending this kind of money is because they oppose price control and it sets a precedent. Now, off of that, I'll go back to you for the answer.
Well, I guess the question is, why do they oppose competition? In a normal capitalistic society, you would say that you negotiate the best price you can, right? And in fact, if you get a bunch of states to go together and negotiate together, you should be able to get a lower price, right? That's what capitalism is all about. The biggest customer in the country should be able to get the lowest price, wouldn't you think?
You would think.
Would you call that price controls?
I would.
So I think it's kind of silly that we need a law like this. I think what we need are leaders who believe it is their responsibility to get the lowest price for anything they buy, always, on behalf of their citizens, right? One of the arguments the pharma companies make is, well, if you control our prices, we won't have the money we need to do research and develop new drugs, right? So, but my response to that is, well, then why did you spend $1 billion since 2003 making donations to candidates for Congress? There are four congressmen who have collected more than $1 million in donations, contributions from pharmaceutical companies or pharmaceutical PACs since 2003. One of them is named John Boehner. What state did he come from?
Right here in Ohio.
That's what I thought. So this is a really crazy, crazy, confusing issue. And it does not surprise me to hear a Democrat opposed to the measure, because it's kind of a dumb measure, frankly. We shouldn't need a measure like this. There should be a law in every state in the country that says our representatives are obligated to negotiate as hard as they can to get the lowest price, right? Not the price the VA pays, the lowest price they can get. And if they should be authorized to buy drugs in Canada if the prices are lower in Canada, and I can assure you the prices are lower.
Well, it's interesting because this is what we know. This initiative would require the state and state agencies, including the Ohio Department of Medicaid, to pay the same or lower prices for prescription drugs than the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, a department that does negotiate drug prices, which Dr. Yulee said, with companies. Now, this is the big important part, and typically pays 20 to 24% less than other agencies for prescription drugs. Specifically, it would forbid state agencies parties to enter into any purchasing agreement with drug manufacturers unless the net cost of the drug is the same or less than that paid by the VA. This would cover Medicaid, as I said, Ohio's Best RX program, and the Ohio HIV Drug Assistance Program. Now, one of the knocks on this, Dr. Uhlein, is that the people in Ohio who are not on Medicaid or Medicare or VA-sponsored insurance, the people who have private insurance, the insurance companies will put their rates up.
Well, there's another way to approach this. One of the things that surprises me is that we individuals, we collectively, state buying agencies, don't take advantage of common sense business practices. And that would involve, for example, one of the things that the VA does is the VA has a formulary. They say to the drug manufacturers, there are seven different statin drugs, that's for lowering blood cholesterol, seven different statin drugs available in the United States. And we know that some of these drugs are maybe a little better than others, but we also know the advantages are not huge. So we're going to give the overwhelming majority of our purchases to the single drug that it gives us the lowest price. Now, I just pulled up some numbers on the internet for the different drugs. Let me read to you the fair price for some of these drugs. Lipitor, very common drug, atorvastatin, $11 for a 30-day supply. Zocor, $8. Pravacol, $13. Crestor, $17. Livalo, $272. Lescol, $78. Now, how do you think you get the price down? You get the price down by saying, we're going to make our primary drug the cheapest drug. You cannot make it the only drug, by the way. And the reason for that is that some people may not be able to tolerate a particular statin drug, but do quite well on another. I'm an example of one of those people. I had a very major complication on a drug called Mevacor, but do not have any trouble with a drug called Lipitor. So on a formulary system, you say, we're not going to have all seven of you. Come in with your best prices, and we're going to allow two or three of you to sell to us. That's all we're going to buy from. This is a capitalistic society, and unless you can prove that your drug works twice as well as someone else's drug, we're not going to pay twice as much. Why don't we do that? And the reason we don't do that, I believe, is because the pharmaceutical companies have paid $1 billion in contributions to political candidates since 2003. By the way, they are equal opportunity donors. Let me be really clear about this. They throw money at Democrats, too.
Well,
why? Because they want their vote when it comes down to passing issues that affect their drug prices.
One of the things that has surrounded this issue in Ohio for a lot of people, the commercials that are running, the veterans are in the commercials for Vote No. I'm a retired veteran, I'm a retired colonel, and I don't want my prices to go up. The people voting that want no to happen, want nothing to change, which is what no does, are using the veterans in their ad. So if you see a veteran in the ad, it's usually a no ad. Why is that?
Well, that's brilliant. I mean, that's just absolutely brilliant. That's brilliant advertising. Someone, some drug company or consortium, went to a really creative ad agency and said, what is the best way to combat this idea of paying no more than the VA pays? And the answer would be, well, let's have a veteran. Let's pay a veteran, an actor, by the way. Let's pay a veteran to come and say, I don't want my prices to go up. But that'll confuse the average person, won't it?
It has.
Yeah, by the way, if you ask me which way would I vote on this, I'm honestly not sure, because I don't believe this really solves the problem. I mean, it is. I don't believe it's going to raise prices for anybody. I think that's a lie. I think that's just an absolute out-and-out lie, and I think it's brilliantly done if you have a veteran say, I'm a veteran, and here's my lie. But I also don't see how it's going to change anything unless public authorities, the folks who buy the drugs, are told you can restrict the number of drugs you buy. You don't have to buy all seven drugs. You can only offer two of them, and one of them can be the cheapest. And watch the prices come down.
Our governor, Governor Kasich, has said for a long time that it's insane that the state of Ohio, and I'm sure other states as well, but this is where we are, cannot negotiate with the drug companies. He feels negotiation is the way to lower insurance costs when it comes to health care for everybody. And he said they can't do it. Their hands are tied, and he wants that taken away. Of course, that has not happened. But where did this idea that we can't negotiate with the pharmaceutical companies come from? That seems like an odd idea.
I'll tell you where it came from, but first let me tell you that I am a Democrat who would have voted for your governor for president had I been given the opportunity because of that position and other similar positions. All right? I mean, it is time we start dropping our labels, Democrat, Republican, and start thinking about what these people are saying to us. And that was a thoughtful position. I can't explain why it should be illegal. Here's how it started. It started way back 2001, 2002, when the Republicans said, let's offer a drug benefit with Medicare. Until I think it was 2001, drugs were not covered by Medicare, and they came up with this plan for Part D, where Medicare would offer a prescription drug benefit. You'd have to pay a certain amount yourself. There'd be certain restrictions, but for the first time ever, drugs would be covered. And part of the problem was they had to do it because drugs were becoming, number one, they were developing very good drugs. I don't want to demean drugs, but they were developing very good drugs that actually cured diseases that prevented heart attacks, but they were so expensive people couldn't afford them. So when Part D came up, a group of senators and congressmen said, well, we will vote for that only if the federal government, Medicare, the largest purchaser of drugs in the world, is prevented from negotiating lower prices. Now, if you're saying to yourself, huh? What did he just say? I just heard Art Uihlein say that there was a large group of senators and congressmen who agreed to vote for prescription benefits with only if the government was prohibited from negotiating lower prices. You heard me correctly. The Medicare law makes it illegal for the United States government, for the Medicare administration to negotiate a better price. They say to interfere with the pricing of pharmaceuticals. And instead what they said is we'll let the insurance companies negotiate on behalf of the public. Huh? I mean, it's crazy. The Veterans Administration had been negotiating for years and years before that, which is why they pay so much less. But that was an existing practice. But when the Medicare Part D came in, it was new, and the Republicans basically said, we will approve this only if Medicare cannot negotiate prices. And in fairness, let me just say that there were some Democrats who also did that. And I'd be willing to bet every last dollar I have that the people who voted for that provision got a lot of money in their campaign chests from pharmaceutical companies.
Is there a fear that if this passes, that 20 to 24% that the VA pays less than Medicaid, which is the big one in Ohio,
right,
that they'll just raise that price up to what the Medicaid people pay?
I guess we won't know unless it happens, will we? This is such a complicated subject. It is so complicated. I wish I could give you a really simple solution, but I can give you a simple principle. And the simple principle is that we should elect public officials who are committed to always doing the right thing for us. Not the right thing for the pharmaceutical companies, not the right thing for the insurance companies, but the right thing for us. So when someone says to me, I think it is crazy, it is irrational to that we cannot negotiate, I will fight for negotiated rights. I will do everything I can to bring drug prices down. Those are the people we should elect as our leaders, and we should send them into battle against the pharmaceutical companies. We should recognize that the pharmaceutical companies have a legitimate interest, most of them, have a legitimate interest in keeping prices high. I accept that. Their legitimate interest is that if they don't keep prices as high as they can, and consistent with the value of the drugs, they won't have the money to do research, they won't have the money to pay their investors, they won't have the money to hire the best scientists. So pharmacy, I don't want to say it's wrong for pharmaceutical companies to ask for good prices. They need good prices. But what we as individual citizens need are representatives who are committed to battle for the best price we can get for the best drugs available.
One thing I hear over and over again, regardless of the commercials that are being put out there, is veterans went off, they fought to save our freedoms, they deserve to pay less.
Don't believe in any of the commercials you see. Don't believe them for either side. Do you know where the $6 million came for the people who are in favor of issue two?
I see that it came.
Where it came from?
Yeah, California.
Yes. Isn't that fascinating? Most people aren't aware that that money was not raised in the state of Ohio by citizens who wanted to see this bill passed. That money, almost all of the $6 million, came from an AIDS foundation here in California, which had supported a similar proposal on the bill here in California. It was Prop 61. And it failed. The pharmaceutical companies spent $119 million in California to defeat that bill. Now, before I say, you know, this was David and Goliath, I need to point out that David ain't quite so simple. It's an $800 million foundation that buys AIDS drugs cheaply and resell them at a profit, but at much lower prices than you can get them directly from the pharmaceutical companies. So it's, well, what are they doing? I honestly can't answer that question. I'm baffled. If I'm confused, and you didn't give me too much notice, but I got to tell you, I've spent a fair amount of time reading about this. If I'm confused, what's an average citizen to do? I don't know. If I were in the state of Ohio voting today, I don't know how I'd vote. Well, I don't think the bill is a good one, and I do know that the pharmaceutical companies are spending $20 million to oppose it, so there must be something good about it for me.
That's interesting. Why is it a bad bill?
It's a bad bill because this is the wrong way to solve the problem. Saying that the state of Ohio should not pay more than the VA pays is apples and oranges. The VA buys probably 5 or 10 times as many drugs as the state of Ohio buys. So they deserve a better price. I don't know that for sure, but I bet on it because the VA just serves so many more people than the Medicaid program in Ohio. The bill should say that the Medicaid program in Ohio should be authorized to create a formulary that is not required to accept every drug, not required to buy every drug, and is authorized, in fact, mandated to pay the lowest prices possible. That's what the law should be. Does that make sense, by the way, to you?
It does, but I think here, if you don't pay attention to the propaganda by either side, I think here is the question you ask yourself. If I vote no on this, nothing changes. So if I vote no, it's going to be the same on November the 8th as it was on November the 6th. Nothing changes. Now, if I vote yes, there is, I guess, a possibility that the pharmaceutical companies would raise the price on veterans' drugs to get them to where what Medicaid is paying. But there also is the chance that they don't want that bad PR, and they would drop the price of Medicaid down to what the VA is paying, which is 24% less. So if I vote no, just I know nothing's going to happen, and we're going to stay where we are. If I vote yes, what's the worst thing that could happen?
If you vote, yeah, I just can't imagine anything catastrophic happening in either direction. The part that troubles me about this is it doesn't fix the underlying problem. By the way, if you think that the pharmaceutical companies are going to get away with raising prices to the VA, then I think you need to go to business school, because the VA is going to put it out to bid and going to say, hey, folks, lowest bidder wins 95% of our business. Watch those prices come down. That's how they do it now. They have a formula, and they say, we are not going to buy every drug. We are going to buy the 2 or 3 least expensive drugs. We can't buy only one because of this issue of side effects. But we are only going to buy the 2 or 3 least expensive, and whoever is the very least expensive is going to get 90% of our business. Watch the prices come down. It's the free market. It's called capitalism.
That being said, then, if this passes, it means Medicaid cannot pay more for those drugs than the VA. So if what you said is true and would happen, if this does pass, doesn't that mean the state pays less for medicine?
I would guess that's what happens, but we'll never know until someone tries it.
So is it a good idea to roll the dice?
If you made me roll the dice right now, I'd roll to see what happened. But if you really want to fix the problem, then what you have to do is say, this is not the real solution. The real solution is to elect true leaders the next time around, to elect courageous men and women who are willing to stand up to the pharmaceutical companies, to the insurance companies, and who will vote for my interest. All right? And that's when you will see Democrats like me voting for Republicans like John Kasich.
As a citizen, as a person who votes, this is my main question. Because this I don't understand. When I know who is paying for the ads, when I know $6.23 million is coming from California and AIDS Healthcare Foundation to vote yes, and I know that $10 million more dollars, $16.23 million, is coming from pharma, they're expending exactly $10 million more dollars to vote, to get ads out there to vote no than to vote yes. Now, this is what enters my mind, because if what they say is true, because the propaganda commercial on the no side is veterans' prices will be going up, and I deserve something for being a veteran, which I think we all think the veteran should get access to good health care. But here's my question. If the veterans' price is going up, because that's what's going to happen, that's what the commercial says, then that would make the pharmaceutical companies more money. So why are they spending more than twice as much money, almost three times, to defeat this bill, which would get them more money?
Stop asking intelligent questions, will you?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Conundrum.
I don't trust either side. I don't trust ads. When did you start trusting ads? I mean, do people really believe these ads?
Veterans, that tugs on people's heart. And I do believe that the Veterans Administration is supporting no. Now, why that is, I know all the medical, the Nurses Association, and I don't want to misrepresent anybody else, but I know a lot of people are backing no.
We're right back to where we started, aren't we? I mean, this is one of the wonderful things about a democracy. It is also one of the horrible things. Sometimes it leaves us in a position where it's difficult to make a good decision. It's difficult to know for sure what to do. And this is why I think it is so critical, so very critical, that we change the way we fund elections in this country. As long as a man like John Boehner can take $1 million, more than a million dollars over a dozen years from a pharmaceutical industry, I don't see how we can trust anything he has to say about the pharmaceutical industry. Why don't we disqualify? Why don't we say that if you've taken money from the pharmaceutical industry, you can't ever vote on a bill that affects them? Conflict of interest, right?
That's right.
What chance do you think we have getting that passed?
Slim and none. But the interesting thing is, this bill, for all intensive purposes here in Ohio, is being left up to the people. We are bypassing the congressmen, the senators, the state legislatures. This is going to go to a popular vote in the state of Ohio. And we're getting our shot. They say, you know, hey, you want to bypass those guys who've been given money? You want to bypass Boehner? You want to bypass people like that? This is your shot. I mean, this is popular vote.
And this is the wrong way to decide this kind of issue. It's the wrong way. Thank you, because you brought me right around to finally being able to make a single statement that sort of sums up my position on this bill. This is the wrong way to decide how drug prices are paid. We should be electing leaders who say we will negotiate the best price we can possibly get on behalf of our citizens.
If I'm on the yes side, why doesn't this do that? Because as you said, the VA, they're not going to lose their right to negotiate. So the VA, correct, I would guess, is going to negotiate the best price they can. And now this law says that would go into effect that you can't charge Medicaid any more than the VA. So even though Medicaid really still can't bargain, the VA is doing the bargaining for them.
Well, actually, it doesn't say that you can't charge Medicaid more. It says that Medicaid can't pay more. So what it says is that Medicaid may not be able to buy some of the drugs that the pharmaceutical companies are selling, all right? So here's my solution. That doesn't scare me. And the reason it doesn't scare me is because if the drug company will not sell that particular drug, the Medicaid in the state of Ohio should be able to put out an RFP to all the drug companies and say, all right, guys, we're going to buy all of our statin drugs from the lowest bidder. Who wants Ohio's business? And watch them come running. Watch one of them come running. One of them is going to come in and offer a great price to get all of the business in the state of Ohio.
So I guess we're back.
That's the way our system works.
Well, so it brings me back to a question that I asked earlier. If you check no, or you push no, or check, or electronically vote no, as we do it now, or yes, electronically vote yes, excuse me, if you vote for the change, what's the worst thing that can happen? Are you in danger of losing your medicine?
I'll tell you what the very worst thing that could happen is. The very worst thing that could happen, and looking at this from a medical point of view, is that the drug companies just refuse to sell their drugs to Medicaid. Let's say there is no company among the seven that will sell their drugs to Medicaid. And so now what are you going to do for, let's say, a statin drug of the seven companies? And I could solve that if I were the king of Medicaid in Ohio. I would solve that in about 3 minutes because I'd go out and buy my all the statin drugs I needed at Walmart. And then I would sue the seven companies for collusion for $1 billion. And you know something? I'd win that case.
Well, it's interesting because analysts, who I guess are not paid by either side, maybe, who knows, hard to tell, but they're saying that this initiative, if it does pass, will save the state of Ohio $536 million. Because I guess the estimate is all people on Medicaid, the HIV Drug Assistance Program, and the Best RX Program, all their prices would drop. Medicare is not included in this, and private insurers, let's get back to them, because people do have private insurance. Is it conceivable that the insurance company, to make up the loss that they would take, raise the price on private insurers because they're not included in this at all?
But they're competitive. No, they're not going to eat the price. They're going to tell the drug. Here's what a private insurer is going to do. They're going to act in a business-like way, and they're going to say to the drug company, you raise the price, we stop buying your drug. They'll institute a formulary. Many insurance companies already have formularies. So they'll say to whichever one it is, fine, double your price. We don't care because we're not buying it anymore.
Well, that puts us back.
Go ahead.
Well, no, it puts us
back. Watch the price come down.
Well, see, that's the thing. If I believe that as to be fact, if I believe that's fact, then I believe the VA would do the same thing, as you said earlier. And I believe then that if this law is passed, that you cannot sell that to Medicaid, that drug, at a 20 to 24% higher cost anymore. So who gets hurt in this besides the pharmaceutical company?
I don't, personally, and this is a guess because we don't know what will happen, personally, I don't think anybody gets hurt because another pharmaceutical company will come swooping in to gobble up that business and to match that price. I think it'll take 10 seconds for another pharmaceutical company to decide that. This is a free enterprise capitalistic society. why don't we give it a try?
Okay.
I'm voting yes.
We've got, now see, talking it out, it kind of works, because I think this is what people
yes.
aren't doing. Because if I know nothing else about this issue, and, you know, it's hard to decipher, if I know nothing else, I know where the money's coming from. And I remember Governor Jesse Ventura was on this show, former governor, and he said he wished that people who were running for office had to wear NASCAR jumpsuits with all the people, the patches, who've given them money. Then you would know where the money came from. Well,
yes.
in this particular issue, which is being left up to the popular vote, we know where the money is coming from. They've told us. $16 million from the pharmaceutical companies to vote no. $6 million from the AIDS Healthcare Foundation to vote yes. Why would the health or the pharmaceutical companies be so against this again if it doesn't hurt them?
To me, the answer is obvious. Again, in fairness to them, they have a right to try to defend higher pricing. I don't want to take that right away from them to negotiate to drive the best bargain they can. But I don't think there should be any restrictions on our side to negotiate hard against them.
And why is the group from California bringing this to Ohio, do you think?
Because they have a self-interest in it. They're buying drugs for California and for AIDS patients. They know that a huge number of people with AIDS-related diseases depend on Medicaid for their drugs. So I think they do believe this will result in the lowest prices for patients.
Okay, Dr. Uline, it's interesting. Let's go back here. In the beginning, you said you really could not, you wouldn't know which way you would vote. I said, if you roll the dice, you said you would. Now you say you definitely would vote yes. What's the reason?
The reason is because I think we have to find out. The reason is because, number one, this is better than no negotiation at all. This is we know that Medicaid is paying more than the VA, and I think we should tell them they can't do that anymore. Let's find out what happens. It's time to find out.
And the veterans who are probably voting no against this, if a veteran's listening right now, talk to them. Why is this good for them as well?
I don't believe there is a chance in the world that you're going to pay one penny more for your drugs, because the Veterans Administration is not going to allow it to happen, period. They haven't allowed it to happen. Right now, they're negotiating prices 24% lower than anyone else. There is no reason why that would change.
And if you're a senior citizen, this doesn't touch them at all either way. Is that right?
Actually, it really does not. That's right, because we have this crazy law that says Medicare cannot negotiate a better price for us. It's time to start electing people like Governor Kasich who say, I will not tolerate that kind of situation anymore. We should be able to negotiate better prices.
Here is what I see in Ohio. This is how I see this coming down in about 35 days now. I believe it will be close, but here are how people are voting. I believe the people on Medicaid, they're going to vote yes because they have nothing to lose. The veterans seem to want to vote no because they think it's going to raise their prices. The people with private insurance seem to want to vote no because they think it's going to raise their prices. Now, just for those people, again, on the no side, now that you have said yes is a good way to go here, why are they safe?
Why are they
safe? What? Why the privately insured safe. In Ohio and the VA, why are their prices not going to go up? Are their access to the drugs they have now?
because they are covered by people who actually believe it's their responsibility to negotiate the lowest price. Insurance companies don't just sit back and pay whatever the pharmaceutical companies charge. They sit there with the CEO of a pharmaceutical company and say, you're going to charge twice as much for that drug? We're not buying it anymore. We're going to tell our clients, you can't have that drug because there are six others that are just as good. And the pharmaceutical companies will not raise the prices. I believe that it's time to let true business forces work on our behalf. I really believe in capitalism. So I think it is crazy to restrain it. I don't think that issue two goes far enough. It says don't pay more than the VA. Why not write a bill that says you got to pay less than the VA? Now, it won't work because the VA buys more drugs, but it's the way we should be thinking.
I want to do two things before we part ways, and one I think is an important question, but one is just an important thing to do that I want to do, because wording sometimes confuses people on a ballot. Here is the deal.
Right.
If you vote yes, that means you support the measure to require state agencies and programs to purchase prescription drugs at prices no higher than what the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs pays. A no leaves things the way they are. So here's all you need to know. If you check no, that means nothing changes. If you check yes, it means the price of Medicaid cannot be higher buying power than the VA. And Dr. Euleen has come to a yes on this. Now, in the bottom, the final outlier of this, do you think the state in their budget will save $536 million if this goes yes?
I don't know how much money the state will save, but I believe the state will save some money because it will change the focus. It will change the background of the discussion in the future when we demand that our state purchasing agents buy at lower prices. They start buying at lower prices. They negotiate harder on our behalf. So I think if nothing else, this is a start in the right direction.
And a new final question just came to me. How did this ever get to the people in Ohio with the pharmaceutical companies pledging money to the politicians?
They're doing it everywhere. The pharmaceutical companies have spent more than $1 billion on lobbying. More than $1 billion. That's a lot of money. In the last 13, 14 years, they are buying votes.
So in the final analysis, as we wrap up, what's been an interesting conversation, Dr. Art Euleen, on November 7th, if you lived in Ohio, would vote?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And that's a person who this will not affect, does not live in Ohio, and is not paid by either side. Dr. Art Euleen, you were the right person to come to on this, and I cannot thank you enough for having this discussion.
Thank you. It's always my pleasure to be with you. Thanks, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye. We'll be back right after this.
At a residence in the 2900 block of Caledonia Northern Road in Caledonia, Ohio, First Consolidated Fire Department and the Marion Township Fire Department were dispatched along with the Sheriff's Office. The caller was performing CPR, and the male subject, identified as 60-year-old Marion County Prosecutor Brent Yeager, was transported to Marion General Hospital, where he was pronounced deceased. Ohio Attorney General's Office Bureau of Criminal Investigation and Identification is assisting with the investigation. The nature of Yeager's death is believed to be medical-related complications, and no foul play is suspected at this time. As Marion City Schools continues its effort to remove itself from the operation of public charter schools, Rushmore Academy Director Steve Vanderhoff is stepping down from his position at the alternative school. Vanderhoff's resignation was accepted by the Marion City Schools Board of Education Monday and is effective October the 20th. Though Vanderhoff's resignation letter cites personal reasons, the move comes after the Board of Education at Marion City Schools and Rushmore Academy reached an understanding to dissolve the Rushmore Academy board earlier this fall. The plan is to reintegrate the alternative program back into Marion City Schools, according to Steve Fuji, interim superintendent of Marion City Schools. Fuji said he does not anticipate any major changes in teaching staff at Rushmore, assuming enrollment remains. Teachers at Rushmore are already